It was on this day in 1923 that Groundnut was discovered. And on that bombshell note, which is a lie note, actually, we say welcome to the show. Good evening, Lagos. Good evening, Nigeria. Who believed me the moment I went? Sam is to my right. Adeze is to my left. Adeze, you believed me when I said it. Yeah. When I started, you thought I was going to say something that made sense.
Oh, well.
Welcome to the show, guys. What is this you are holding? What announced your arrival, sir.
After 2 years,
it's been more than two years of hiatus. Feels like it's been more than
and,
that.
And guys, since you left, they bullied me.
They have been bullying me on this show.
And I announced to Lagos 2 weeks ago that you were coming back on this show. You didn't come. So last week, they started throwing shit at me. They said, I gave Lagos fake information. So I came prepared. I have two bells. This one is the alarm for everybody to know. Then this one is a reminder that actually I'm very serious with what I'm saying.
Yeah, the two bells, it seems like one is for a big voice person, the one is for a smaller voice person.
Actually, my voice is big.
Welcome to the show, Sam. Don't break our stuff. Oh, okay. Adeze Michael, such a pleasure to you. Don't tell. That was the last time we're in the studio.
So, okay, the World Cup commentaries.
Yes, we did the World Cup.
I think Spain and Germany.
Yes,
it's been a while,
and before that, I think fan battle. Yeah.
Yeah, fan battle.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
And somebody has been dethroned. I'm particularly happy.
Ah.
Yes. Just let him be where he's supposed to be.
But
you know, when you woke up this morning, you thought you would come to the studio and drive.
A little part of me still felt like,
I'm tired. Let me go home.
But it's always a pleasure. I do not remember the time, the last time. Yeah, fan battle last year. That was the last time you and I were in the same studio at the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Well, why is there lipstick on your microphone? I don't understand.
What's her name? Vaughn.
Was she reading the news or eating the mic? Okay, guys, let's get on this business. The voice is in the house. The voice, how far?
Yeah.
Yes. The next time I introduce you, I will go like, ladies and gentlemen.
You got it. I mean, I don't doubt you, Femi. There's nothing you can't do. You can sound like me, and you just did that there. I mean, but I'm excited to have you here. It's always special, you know. Finally, you decided to, join us. After you know what has been, I don't know, forced break.
I tell you, man.
What do we call it?
I don't know how to say it, but you know, I promised half the universe. I'll try to be here on Tuesdays. Adeze, right?
Yes, sir.
We have an agreement.
Oh, of course.
We have an understanding.
Absolutely. I just have to do my own part of the deal.
Oh, okay. We got a big show going on, and we got giveaways too. Plenty of money to chop. By the way, doesn't the Fans League resume
today? It returns.
There's money there.
9:30. Yeah, 9:30.
How much are we looking at?
10,000 naira.
Okay.
Up for grabs today.
Okay. And how about one play?
Yeah, of course, one play. 8:15 to 8:25. You get a chance to win 30,000 naira on the broadcast.
And to add a little something to that, I'll be giving away 5K. I'll let you know. I'll ask
this
questions.
Is where you ring that
Away 5K.
5K to the listener or to your co-anchors.
Because
we ain't gonna do that right here. You have to settle us first.
Exactly.
I will scatter everything.
Yeah, exactly. Tony, that was really good.
It was necessary.
Okay. Yeah. There's 5K courtesy of our good friend and partner, Ugo Best Music.
Ooh.
And Ugo Best Music has, we've got this thing running, which covers, it'll be plenty of time to talk about it. And, you know, we're looking at a few. Fusion of sports and music, football and music, and that opportunity coming forward. You'll hear a lot more about it, and this will be a daily thing. By the way, there will be a giveaway on this show every day, in addition to the other giveaways courtesy of this partner of ours, starting tonight. So get ready for that and a whole lot more. First off, though, Let's review the last weekend. Our broadcast partners, they are the ones who make the Premier League broadcast, our live Premier League broadcast possible. And we are delighted. So until we go on the break, let's review the biggest moments of the last weekend. Are we good to go, Sam?
Yep, we are good to go.
So what is that called? The Talk Sports Show for Monday.
Yep.
Hear it.
Hello and welcome to Premier League All Access with me, Sam Matterface.
Neither goalkeeper tested so far. A forgettable opening half an hour. Walker trying to change that. Infield he goes to Akanji. Bit of shape and purpose here. Fed to Haaland inside the area. Feeds it inside to Julian Alvarez, who finds the right-hand corner. Manchester City score right on the half-hour mark. Virtually Haaland's first contribution on the shoulder of the defender, peeled away and then unselfishly put a well-weighted ball into Alvarez, who pulled away from his man and guided it into the right-hand corner for Manchester City 1, Fulham 0. Whereas Erling Haaland has had a bit of a drought at the Etihad Stadium. He's failed to score in his last four coming into this game. Andreas Pereira to deliver the corner into Raúl Jiménez, and it's tapped in at the back post by Tim Ream. And Fulham are level within 2 minutes from a corner that should never have been given away. 1-1, Silva up off his bench. Manchester City are protesting that this one needs a VAR check. Tim Ream back from suspension and on the score sheet with a tap in at the back post. Credit to Raúl Jiménez, because he helped on a near post corner to get it across the 6-yard area, and Ream was there to pounce after it was parried away by Ederson, and it is 1-1. Ederson won't be happy. Those were weak wrists. Corner on the far left-hand side. Akanji standing right in front of Bernd Leno. Three Manchester City players around the penalty spot. In it comes towards Nathan Ake, who heads it first time and into the far left-hand corner. And Manchester City on the stroke of half-time, back in front against Fulham. And Ake, who gave away the corner in the build-up to the Fulham equaliser, is able to redeem himself. There will be a VAR check just to see if there's any interference here. Ake was on the penalty spot, totally unmarked, and he guided it into the far left-hand corner. The only question from the perspective of VAR is whether Akanji is interfering in any way, and that's what VAR are looking at. No doubt that Nathan Ake is fine, but Akanji is offside and he's standing just in front of the 6-yard area. If he moves towards the ball or obviously touches it in any way, then is he blocking the goalkeeper's view? And that's what VAR are currently looking at. Akanji's trying to jump out the way. I think he knows he's offside and he doesn't appear to get a touch. The weird thing is after the ball goes past Akanji, he sort of sticks out his left leg as if he's trying, but he's just late. And if VAR feel like that's gone through the legs of Akanji or got in the way of Bert, then they may disallow this for offside. If not, it will stand and Nathan Ake will have put Manchester City 2-1 ahead. This is just the kind of decision that is going to divide fans, because it's so obvious that Akanji, who is offside, is blocking the goalkeeper's view. But if he doesn't touch the ball, then the goal can stand. And it's such a bizarre situation. Short diagonal ball to Rodri, back to Kovacic again, then a square ball to Akanji. And now Rodri, still 40 yards from goal, feeds it neatly into Alvarez, who finds Erling Haaland into the left-hand corner. His first goal at the Etihad Stadium in 5 games. Incisive. Alvarez with a brilliantly weighted ball forwards. Haaland timed his run and first time dropped the right hand shoulder to create the body space and guides it into the left hand corner, and Manchester City have breathing space. City 3, Fulham 1. Long ball over the top from the right hand side to Julian Alvarez, who's onside inside the area, and down he goes under a challenge from Issa Diop. Referee points to the spot. Penalty to Manchester City. Now we wait and see whether Diop is punished. He's been booked. So this will be a red card if he's yellow carded again. There was another defender. Ake's diagonal ball and Diop clattering into the back of Julian Alvarez just pushed him from behind. It's a penalty to Manchester City, but surely this is at least a yellow card for Diop, and he's been booked. VAR having a look, I suppose, at the moment just to confirm whether or not the push is strong enough to warrant a penalty. But if this is a penalty, then Diop should be sent off because he has been booked. VAR are still debating it. Erling Haaland has the ball in his left hand. Yellow card for Diop has been given. Or at least we think it's to Diop. It might actually be to Erling Haaland for protesting. All kinds of confusion at the moment. Or has the yellow card gone to Andreas Pereira for moaning about the penalty? First, the ref brandished a card to Haaland, maybe because it looked like he was trying to take the penalty too early. Then Pereira came in. I think that yellow's gone to Pereira for complaining, but I just don't understand why Diop hasn't been given another yellow for a push when Alvarez was effectively cleaned through. I know there's the whole double jeopardy thing, but nonetheless, Diop is very lucky to still be on the field. Pereira is, to confirm, the Fulham player that has been booked. Erling Haaland from the penalty spot up against Bernd Leno. Haaland fires it into the left-hand corner, and Manchester City have four, and Haaland has two in the game, and Manchester City are going to make it four wins out of four and return to the top of the Premier League. Gomez at the byline shows good composure, works his way into the area, back to Erling Haaland, who smashes it into the left-hand corner. Hat-trick for Erling Haaland. Manchester City 5, Fulham 1. Erling Haaland with 6 goals in the Premier League already in just 4 games. And that was brilliant from all of the substitutes in the build-up. Oscar Bob on his debut first with neat feet out to the left-hand side. Then Rico Lewis and Sergio Gomez combined. Gomez got to the byline with tremendous composure, and he picked out Haaland with accuracy, and that is a devastating finish by Erling Haaland, peeling away to the left of the penalty spot and firing it into the bottom left-hand corner. Haaland goes home with the match ball, and Manchester City return to the top of the Premier League. City 5, Fulham 1.
I don't actually think City are as strong as they were last season. So I think when you lose players of the quality of Mahrez, you know, then I don't think that they have strengthened. I just think there's a mental block. And I think when they've got a player like Haaland, everyone's terrified of him. So I think the league is going to be very competitive this year. I think Liverpool look really good again. Chelsea look a total basket case, which is just, I mean, it seems like the more money they spend, the more players they get, the worse they get. So there's a clear sort of ideological problem there with the ownership, I think, in terms of how they're trying to run things. But I think a lot of teams are going to be in the mix, and I think there'll be a lot of surprises. I do believe that if Gabriel Jesus stays fit and Declan Rice stays fit, and Gabriel at the back doesn't suddenly disappear to Saudi, because something has gone on with him and Arteta in the last 3 weeks that we're not fully privy to. There's clearly been some disciplinary thing, and the word on the street is that he has been flirting with the Saudi league. Now, that would be a disaster if he was to now leave in the next week while the Saudi league can still be transferred. So if we keep this defence and we keep Declan Rice fit and we keep Gabriel Jesus, because I do think he's a top player, I think if we keep those fit, I think I've got a very good chance of winning the league. Yeah. So I don't really agree with that. I think people will take points off City.
Now, let's start the penalty given, but rejected. Everyone will see. It's a slobber. Not get booked for it. Then foul on Haaland in the penalty area. I think not even by the VAR judged. Then the disallowed goal from Garnacho, wrong angle. And you see, I think it's onside. Huh? And then the final goal, can they allowed that goal. It's a clear and obvious foul on Johnny Evans. Otherwise, he should have blocked the shot from Declan Rice. So it's a lot.
This clash is known in the history because it's been really emotional. A lot of goals, a lot of things happen, and today hasn't been different. I think we fully deserve to win the game, but the reality is that the margins against those top teams are really small, and it could have gone in a different way if the VAR doesn't overturn the offside goal.
And Eriksen intercepts again and carries it forward here for Manchester United. Rashford is the runner down the left-hand side. It's been fouled. Rashford, edge of the area for Manchester United. Can he find the far corner? Rashford! What? Yes, he can! It's in off the post, and Manchester United lead! Who else for them but Marcus Rashford? He's had barely any of the ball in this game so far. But Marcus Rashford, when he got it, looked so confident, shifted it and scores his first goal of the season. Arsenal 0, Manchester United 1.
Yeah, it's the first time that Manchester United have got Rashford running in behind into space on the counter-attack, and it comes from a sloppy pass from Kai Havertz. Christian Eriksen breaks, and there's the pace of Rashford. He's always going to beat Ben White for pace. Rashford gets it, 1v1. They try and keep him on his left foot. They allow him back inside onto his right, and he bends it beautifully into the far left-hand corner. Past Ramsdale, gets a hand to it, but it isn't enough to keep it out. Just gets fingertips on it. But you have to stop Rashford coming back onto that right foot. You have to do better there.
Goalkeeper?
I think he gets everything he can on it. He can't get enough to stop that.
Arsenal trying to hit back quickly with Nketiah. Into the box here for Martinelli. It's Odegaard!
A great
it's
goal.
1-1. Arsenal on terms. They were behind for no more than a minute. And this place has just exploded. It's 1-1.
Well, that is a tremendously worked goal from Arsenal. And this place has absolutely taken off. The roof has come off here at the Emirates to come back literally from conceding straight away. Attack down the left-hand side. Andre Onana's trying to calm everyone down, but this stadium is rocking. Ball into Martinelli. Little flick round the corner, then played inside to Nketiah. Back out to Martinelli. What a pass that is from him. Back just behind the penalty spot where Odegaard is waiting to come onto it, and it's the calmest man in the building. What a finish with his left foot. Low and hard. Passed into the bottom left-hand corner. Onana is very close to his near post. Can't get back across, and a brilliant comeback from Arsenal.
Saka standing over the corner on the right side. Gabriel Jesus, Rice, Gabriel in there as well as Tomiyasu. It's towards Gabriel. Rice round the back. Declan Rice fires it in.
Gee!
And it's found a way to the corner. Arsenal have won it. What a time for Declan Rice to grab his first Gunners goal. He's mobbed in the corner, and there is sheer pandemonium around us.
Well, there's going to be, I think, a VAR check on a potential block on a player who could but maybe have got out to put Rice under pressure. But then there's question marks over Onana there. How Declan Rice's shot wasn't hit with the greatest of power. It squeezed in at the near post, didn't it?
What a game of association football we've had. Declan Rice stretches out his arms and nods his head. This is his official arrival. Eriksen forward, fairly straight direct ball. Arsenal headed away. And they've got it on the left-hand side now with Fabio Vieira. They could finish it off. Gabriel Jesus running through the centre here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus checks inside.
Goal!
Reaches. Oh, what a goal! Gabriel Jesus! What a way to finish it for Arsenal! That is quite brilliant! A touch of class, the composure when he was required to steer the defender down on his backside, and he rolled it into the corner. That was quite brilliant from the Brazilian.
Eric, in terms of the turning point of the game, the Garnacho goal, we've seen the still pictures. Do you think, even with the technology, it's decisive that he was definitely offside? Can they say that 100% that he was offside?
No, absolutely. In my perspective, it's not offside. Huh? And also because the angle is wrong, and it's I think it can't be. right, that this goal is rejected.
You'll take the positives, though. You mentioned already about the performance of Højlund. In some ways, does this break for the international calendar come at a good time? Because obviously you've got a couple of players who are out injured.
No, they go for international, so they got more load. But definitely we can take the performance with us. And they go to international, so I hope they stay fit there. They win their games, they come back and full of energy. And then yeah, we go to the next stage of the season.
How bad are the injuries to Martinez and Lindelof?
Lindelof was illness. He played this game ill. So and in the last stage of the game, he couldn't keep going. Martinez, we have to see.
There's something just inherently wrong about United. I mean, look, maybe I would say this, wouldn't I? But I do think if you look back to my interview with Cristiano Ronaldo, pretty much everything he said about Manchester United, the club, the structure, Ten Hag, all of it, I think, because all those chickens have come home to roost. Everything he said was right. And I think that if you look at the issue with Jadon Sancho, then this is Ronaldo all over again. You know, him going public, criticising players feeling that he's being deliberately misleading about them, and then having to go public themselves. I mean, there comes a point when Ten Hag has got to look at himself. Someone just tweeted a stat, which is extraordinary, that United under Ten Hag haven't beaten a single top half team away from home since Ten Hag took over as manager of United. Well, yeah, that's the problem. I think the guy is, if he played the game with his team that he talks, he'd be the best manager in the world.
Welcome back. We wanted to give you a little taste of that. Usually we'll run that on a Monday. That's our review show. But things happened yesterday. We couldn't run it. And we decided you do not miss out. A recap of what last week was, courtesy of our friends from Talk Sports. It's the EPL review show. There's a preview show of the EPL, which will also come on Friday. I think inside the 7 o'clock hour. On Friday. So we review, we preview, a courtesy of Talk Sports. We are Femi and the gang. We're back here. Full house. I didn't get to introduce Chuma Nolly, El Rai Mero. Just before that break, Chuma, how far, man?
Nice to have you back, Femi. Great to have you here. And the listener have been waiting for that pleasure of listening to your voice on a regular basis. And it's good to know that you're here. I hope you come with your bottle of wine so we can induct you back into the Hall of Fame of this lovely gang. When, even though you're in charge of the gang, we know.
You know, sometimes, Chuma, do you know even when we're having one-on-one conversations? Yeah. I expect you to rhyme. And sometimes when you don't rhyme, I'm a bit disappointed. Then when they say, with all pleasure, I was, something like equal measure with follow or something.
You know, for us, you're a treasure, and really.
Without any measure.
Your being in the studio just gives us the feeling of leisure.
Leisure, yeah. And like I used to say back in the day, in the words of my favorite big brother, Shagun E, it's always my pleasure enhancing your leisure, giving you something to treasure without any measure. Let's get on with the show. Yeah. Okay. There's plenty to talk and laugh about. Let us start from the home front. MPFL is finally introducing VAR to... this is not professional. This is most irresponsible. All right, let's get on the show. Okay. So president of the Nigerian Referees Association, Sani Zubair, has hinted that plans are ongoing to deploy video assistant referees in the Nigeria Professional Football League from the incoming 2023-24 season. Okay. Why everybody went silent? Nobody wants to talk about this. Adesia, I'll punish you.
So I was trying to not to laugh, because I just want to, when I saw the news today, I had to laugh. Not laugh in a sense of maybe trying to undermine, but I think there's this balance in Igbo language, they say bad thing they make person laugh. But this one is not really a bad thing, but it's as if we are were living in some level of delusion. Maybe I'm going to say that. But however,
it's technology. Now, if we have the money, we can buy the technology.
If we have the money. So I had a conversation with the COO of the league, Davis Nwomi, very well popular. That was some 5 weeks ago on Inside the MPF. And the issue came up. I asked him a question directly. Are we going to have VAR this season, this new season in the MPFL? And then he says, when I had to say that the cost is over $150,000 to install that's from his own angle. He cited money, and then I left that for that because I knew it was a developing story. So today I was just on my own minding my business, and I saw the MPFL are planning to bring in VAR, and I had to think back. First of all, we don't have modern day stadiums that's got that high quality technology that will be suitable for the VAR to be installed. Even the 1 billion renovated Mobolaji in Abuja does not have that. And even the Gosol Akpabio, who that is supposedly our best stadium, does not have that. So, and I'm like, how will it work?
The basic infrastructure is
missing. First of all, the basic infrastructure, you have to install high definition camera, you have to have really high technology signal network in each and every one of the stadium. And again, the referees that you are going to use, how many of them have been trained? The league is starting this weekend. So I think this is more like someone throwing out a kite to get us excited and not ready. If we are going to be ready, all of the stadia in Nigeria will have to go through thorough check of refurbishment. And there's got to be a high level of commitment from the football administrators, the referees themselves, who are somehow even fighting for their own welfare, who are not even well treated, who don't even have enough security. Imagine that angry fans in Kano could just probably go and scatter the whole VAR room, maybe if the decision don't go their way. So we have to also educate the fans.
The other question to ask is, in the West, the VAR facility is installed in every stadium.
Fine.
It's there. Are they going to install in every stadium, or would they carry pickup? They carry the thing, run around?
Good question. Big question, because one of the VAR, like I told you, the CEO said, was cost $150,000 in just one stadium. So if you do the math across 10, 20 stadiums we have in Nigeria for the games, it's quite a lot. How many of our governments are ready to pump in money? Where is the money going to come from?
Tony has inside information, Tony.
I mean, I was just trying to do the math, right? That's about 113 million naira. That's...
113 million, not too plenty. You look at
113 million
to install one,
yeah.
One stadium, and how many stadia are there? 20, yeah.
Some of them share stadium because
10 was approved, right?
For the live streaming of games,
Ten was approved, but so all around is 20.
We've not even been able to stream all our games,
yeah.
So the challenge here, Femi, which is something that, just like Adesi said, makes you concerned a bit. The prize money expected for this season is somewhere around 150 million naira. So if you're going to use 100 and something million, just like Tony mentioned, to do only VAR, if Okokuma share that money to clubs, ordinarily when the season starts, these clubs expect to get a bit of takeoff grant from the...
I'll spend the money to train the referees better,
right,
yeah?
Right, right. And we know that this season, as much as we have been informed by officials of the league, there's not going to be that, in quotes, takeoff grant. So clubs will be expecting to make money from their sponsors, state governments, and as a case is for remote stars.
Maybe the country is preparing to put in a bid to host one of these international tournaments one of these days.
Well, the goal
2027.
AFCON in collaboration with Benin
Republic.
Except the federal government giving you the money to make this happen. Really.
So you guys don't think it's possible?
It may be possible
this 2023.
It may not be possible this 2023. Maybe after 6, 7, 8 months of the league starting.
But if we were this close, Davis Nwomi would have known weeks ago when you spoke.
Exactly, because first of all, he was like money. He just kept on saying money is the issue that is very much possible. However, the league was planning to bring in some level of aid for the referees to do better, but not your outright VAR. That was what he told.
But have you noticed that? Have you noticed that this is the NRA talking, not the MPFL?
Yeah.
Not the NFL.
Exactly. Like I said, the NRA themselves, they have issues to sort out.
Well,
most of our referees to have some questionable character, underhand tactics, which starts with how they officiate games. Before games start, they will have to communicate with the chairman on the stand. They say, guy, how far? You didn't interested. Make a just blow penalty given at 3 points. So it's something that happens. So first of all, we also need to sanitize the men in black. That's what I call them in the MPFL. Educate them because they are the same people that will still be in the VAR room.
Yeah.
So we have a long way to go.
Sam, was this election campaign? I mean, the guy's just been elected, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, this looks like a futuristic project, but was he just throwing things in the air to...
Well, he had to say something to get people on his side, really. Yeah. And going further into that statement by Zuberi, the president of the NRA, did say this is not going to be across all the stadia in Nigeria. It's going to be regional by region. So I think it's something that we should encourage. Yes, we will talk about the money not being there, but if we need, we can't say we don't need technology to a certain degree in our league. I mean, bad officiating and all that. Maybe this is the sort of thing we need to sort of put us in the good books of we who watch the football and say, why do we have all of these bad decisions every day?
Yeah. So here's another problem I have with Nigerian football and the Nigerian Professional Football League. There are certain things that if you're going to do them, you must do them across board.
Exactly.
You cannot tell me that you put VAR in some regions
and
then the people who play there will be subject to VAR. Why the other people are not subject to VAR?
Exactly.
Even in the championship, in certain leagues in England, VAR is not in some.
No, if it's not in the league, it's not in the league.
Exactly.
In not the lower league.
Look, it might be in the cup and not in the
some of the lower leagues. VAR has not been introduced. They've not done that outlay. But the playing field must be level.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't VAR my home game.
And then
when I come to play you, there's no VAR.
Exactly.
It doesn't
and
make
even,
sense.
Even up to
it's,
now.
It's the same with television.
Exactly.
You even can't broadcast my game and not broadcast the away leg when I come to you.
Even up to now, I have to tell the Lagos people that most club chairmen, for all of their highest level of exposure and knowing football, they are not comfortable when the cameras come to their home games.
Yeah, well,
they don't like it.
We know that.
They feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Most club chairmen and their fans, they believe just let our league be in the dark.
I know.
But we've got to do what we've got to do.
There was one year when one team in Nigeria won the league back to back, and no camera could enter their stadium.
Yeah.
And they won that league like four or five times back to back. You know.
We call them the Kardashians.
And guess what? They were going away, playing before the cameras and getting draws and even winning some games. Mm. But because that's just the way it is. So what do you guys think? So before we go on, let's open.
This is where someone will say what's good for the goose is good for Uganda.
Yes,
not the Uganda.
Uganda. All right, let's open the phone line. Sam,
first, before we go to the phone line, worthy of mention is the fact that on the broadcast today, courtesy of, you know how we do, courtesy of our friends at One Play, we're going to be giving away 30,000 naira on the broadcast. Live draw is going to happen between 8:15 and 8:25. So in case you don't know how to play, it's *347*880*3#. *347*880*3#. Start playing with 200 naira. And you could be well on your way to win 30,000 naira.
Right now, don't forget, the Fans League returns. That's at 9:30.
9:30 to 10 p.m.
And somewhere in between One Play and the Fans League, there will be my 5K giveaway courtesy of Ogobest Music.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Let's go to the phone line.
Money plenty.
Yeah, and let's also see what we have on social media. But, I mean, you can join the conversation. You know our social media handles, Nigeria Info 993. And of course, our WhatsApp numbers. Want to give that out?
0809597 5805 on WhatsApp. 0809597 5805. We've got a break in about 3 minutes, so I think we should do the phone.
Let's take phone calls ringing like off the hook. Hi there. Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome. Talk to me.
Good evening, Mr. Femi.
Welcome, brother.
Longest time, sir.
You don't see? Yeah, go ahead, man.
Good evening to other guys in the studio.
Welcome.
Good evening.
Mr. Femi, please, I just have a question to you.
Ask.
What is happening in Nigeria? Where is Oga Emmanuel Etim?
Oga Emmanuel Etim is on holiday.
Sir?
But he's on holiday, but he's working. He's in the UK. He's covering Premier League for us from the UK for now.
Wow. I hope he's not leaving Nigeria Info, because you guys are just reshuffling. We don't know what is happening in Nigeria Info.
Yeah, Emmanuel Etim is the head of. He's the one who said I should come into the studio. So he's still our guy in sports, you know. But he's on break. He's on break in the UK.
Hope he's coming back.
He's coming back.
because we don't want to suffer another heartbreak again. You know?
No,
we don't want to suffer another.
Don't worry, no.
Among the best,
no heartbreak. Yeah, the only person that has left this period is Sandra. Everybody is here. Sheriff is here. He leads the Nigeria Info team. Everybody is here. Okay, we are just shuffling around the cards. And don't forget, you can join Sheriff at 7:30 in the morning on the newspaper with Jimmy D. So can we take one more call before we go on that break? Hi there.
Chris Obonfemi Danele.
My brother, how are you day?
Hey,
my man. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening.
Time they count.
So how is it fair that bad people will eat or people will close mouth?
I'm not peace for it now.
Okay.
Good evening, welcome.
And they hear with you talk about it. What we call it here is Sojunu. Principal family, you understand that?
I get you. Throw away face.
Sojunu. As if they didn't see what happened. Okay, what's that? So Prince Obon Femi Daniel.
Yes.
I'm so happy hearing your voice this night.
Pleasure is mine, bro.
You know you don't say now.
You don't say.
Thank you very much for the good job.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Game On. We are Femi and the gang.
The talk doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, let the conversation go on.
Twitter at Nigeria Info FM, Facebook Nigeria Info 99.3, and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos. Let's talk.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know our social media handles. You can hit us up as we speak. Check us out on Twitter. We'll be taking your messages as we go. Femi here. The voice is in the house. Sam is in the house. Chuma and Adeyzi, the mother of us all. Plenty of action at Flushing Meadows in the U.S. U.S. Opens in the singles game. We saw Zverev do one over. It would seem okay. Sinner three sets to two. That's a game over five sets, and that's just finished. Djokovic is playing as we speak. He's taking the first set. Over Fritz. We'll be following that as this show goes on there. In the second set, we'll report on that as it goes. Sabalenka was victorious over Kasatkina, as was Coco Gauff all over Ostapenko. Straight sets for Gauff, straight sets for Sabalenka. Let's leave Flushing Meadows for now. We'll come back. We'll keep an eye on Djokovic's game here. He's leading 30-15 in the second set as we speak. We'll come back to it. So let's go back to football, lady and gentlemen. So let's talk about another offer for Mohamed Salah from Al Ittihad. That's before the league window closes in 2 days. That's on Thursday. Senior figures at the club believe this is worth making one more try to sign Salah, but others are advising they should give up until next summer. The question on the mind is, did the Saudi Pro League leave this one a little too late to happen? There was a part of me that thought before the end of last season that a Saudi team would make a big push for Salah this season. I was a bit disappointed that it didn't come early enough. And now Al Ittihad is making this big push. Should they just let it be, or should they go all the way?
I think they should wait. There's something Harry Kane said before eventually he moved on to Dubai, and when he said, hey, I love Tottenham Hotspur so much, and if the season starts right and I've not moved to another team, then I'll stick around with Spurs, because it throws your team into a bit of disarray. Yes, there's quality aplenty in that Liverpool team, as we have seen. Salah only found the back of the net last weekend. Minus him, even Szoboszlai, who just came in, has scored. And we're seeing Darwin Núñez play his own path too. There's Diego Jota. There's several names in that setup who can come up with the goals. But Salah is Salah. He's been with his side for like 6 years now. I'll think that everything seems to be working for the guys in Saudi Arabia, right? Especially as regards African players. Yeah, they've signed so many big names from the European scene. Many of those big names are African players. And with all due respect to our continent, everybody likes money, but somehow the foreign currency makes even more sense when you want to translate it to our currency in this part of the world. There's a reason why Senegal have a few players who've moved to that territory. Mane himself, you know, Koulibaly himself, who moved from Chelsea. Edouard Mendy, who moved from Chelsea too. And so for Salah, having achieved everything at Liverpool, he's won the Champions League, he's won the Carabao Cup, he's won the FA Cup, he's won the Premier League, he's won everything he needs to win. He's been the third best player in the world, according to FIFA in the past. Just go there and make money. You're over 30 at this stage. However, the season has started. Liverpool need this guy in their quest to challenge Man City for the title. So I think that he himself will not want to dent his reputation in front of Liverpool fans, which is, I'm supposed to be that legend. In the coming years, there should be a statue built for me because that's how great I am at Liverpool. And leaving 3 weeks into the season and throwing my team into disarray will certainly just take away a bit of the love and appreciation that these fans have had for him over the years. So the guys in Saudi should wait until season finishes. Tony, be like, you won't talk.
No, I mean, I think it's an incredible deal. I think it's about 2.4 million euros per week.
Crazy stuff, man.
He gets 55 million euros in shared bonuses. He gets 3 years ambassadorial deal. I don't know.
It's confusing, eh?
Salah has won everything in club football,
mm-hmm.
or most of it. You know, he's won the Champions League.
He's not going to win the World Cup anyway.
I think for the player, he should look at this genuinely. Many would say, oh, money, that's bladder dash. Yeah, money's fundamental. It is why you play the game for many. I think this is just the right opportunity. But Salah, that I know, I don't think he's money driven. Even though, I mean, we know the issues with his extension with Liverpool to 350, which is currently earning now. But yeah, I don't think he'll up and leave. But if I were to advise him, I think you've done your bit.
He should just walk alone.
Dude.
I think that I like the fact that something is happening to the Premier League,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have an answer to it. They've been the play guys in the garden,
mm-hmm.
the play guys, the bullies that take the best players from Germany, from mm-hmm. Spain, from Italy. Now a big guy, if I'm going to use a word like that, and now in the playground, and they now understand that Saudi are way ahead of them.
And Europe is panicking.
They're panicking. Seferin is saying nothing, they happen, everybody calm down, but they're looking above their shoulder. But I think that the player himself is also not helping matters. I remember just when Mason Mount were moving, Kovacic, and then someone tagged Reece James saying, Reece James Arsenal, and then he said no. He put it out on social media, he said no. Everybody just took that. Mm-hmm. Salah has been silent. And that silence is even deafening. Why haven't you and your agent come out to say, look, we're staying? Look at the season is just starting.
Yeah.
It's a lot of distraction. Come out and put it to bed. Let us know whether you're staying or not. And then Jürgen Klopp's statement again, I think he is staying. He's not even sure. He's kept every one of them in limbo. They don't know if he's going to go, if he's going to stay. And for me, I've said it here before last week, he has to, he's got to go. He's looking at Firmino, he's looking at Sadio Mane, he's looking at his village. Saudi is his village where he can freely practice his religion and look at Egypt and look at Saudi.
Weekly? How much is that weekly thing?
No, it's 350 a day. 350k a day. And Liverpool is 350k a week. So look at the disparity. I mean, the
that's
money is too
seven.
Much.
Exactly. Time seven exactly. of your pay.
I mean, if Osimhen could tell Saudi Arabia no, Salah can tell them no.
Yeah.
Come on. Osimhen is 20-something. Osimhen is just starting, exactly.
But is anybody really looking at what could be seen as a responsibility on Salah being from the Arabian world? I mean, if his money is being triple or quadruple what what's his name Neymar is earning, I mean, it seems like they want him. He's the biggest of all that project, and there's Koulibaly is there, Mane is there, all of his Arabian brothers have made that move. So why would Salah not make that move?
He should borrow a leaf from Jordan Henderson, who is saying that criticism of his move from Liverpool to Saudi Arabia really hurt him. But, you know, it hurt me.
And we know it's all about money.
Yeah, it hurt me, but look, I'm making the pay.
Exactly.
So I don't know. So I'm marrying these two stories together because on the one hand, here's an Englishman who left a very English club and went to Saudi Arabia. You could say that Henderson is older than than Mo Salah. And you could say Mo Salah is still in his prime to one extent. I don't think Mo Salah is ever going to be better than he is now.
Yeah.
I think the he's on the other, he's reached the zenith and he's on the decline.
Exactly.
It's not very obvious yet, but that's what's going to be.
Yeah, I agree.
Because when you consider his age, maybe a pragmatic move, but again, I'm not from one of the Salah family. However, until the window closes, nobody knows what's going on underneath.
Exactly.
Nobody is sure. Do you think Liverpool are scared? Or there are some parts of the Liverpool board that say, look, guys, you take this money
and rebuild.
And there's nobody to buy. The window is shut down.
Saudi's money will not finish by next year. Just finish this season and you go. That's my issue.
What if that offer may not be on the table by this time?
What if form drops significantly? We saw what happened to Ronaldinho.
Exactly.
Your form can drop over one season.
You can't even attract anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to the phone lines. What do you guys make of this? Hit us up on social media. Nigeria Info 993, that's on Twitter.
On X.
On X. Hit up us on X. And hit us up on Facebook. And
WhatsApp.
Okay. The number on WhatsApp again?
08095975805.
Okay. Do we have any messages coming in for now? Or let's take a few phone calls and then we'll come back to those messages. Hi there. Good evening.
Finally. this is Adeshewa from Ikorodu.
Adeshewa, how are you, madam?
It's good. Longest time.
Yeah.
Kilo day.
Oh, serious.
No, continue with that, Yoruba. I want to. Welcome back.
Yeah. Like my friends in Okeogun would say, you probably won't hear this one. Echeon Cheon Bio Joanna.
Wow. You say that one. Don't be talk about it.
All right.
My new version. How are you?
Hi. you're welcome.
Okay. Well, let me start with the VAR. Now, see, we are putting the cart before the horse. To me, it was on a good day. We still have a lot of things to do with money when it concerns our football league. In fact, a lot of things to do. Is it the money they are owing? Is it the welfare? Is it the taking care of the stadium? If they need a VAR in any stadium of ours now, of a Nigerian stadium now, that means they will need all these security guards that will be watching it 24/7. And those ones too will be paid, have you? If they don't end up stealing it. That's it now. See, so to me, is a sheer waste of money. I just think they just want to siphon it. Sorry to say. They just want to siphon it. They are not putting it in anything. They just want the normal cake. Now let's go to Salah. See, Mr. Femi. Salah is 30 years. I think he's 31 this year.
Yeah.
And I think there's this thing in him, and that's the passion for Liverpool. But if he looks at it, this is a mouth-watering offer. Nobody should refuse. To me, he shouldn't refuse this. Because on a good day, very soon, you know, they say you leave the stage when the clapping is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So to me, I think he should accept the offer. But that is deafening silence. Eh? I don't really understand it. He's not saying anything. They said, okay, they don't want 150. They increased it to 200. Now it is now 215. Do you see the other allowances, all the shoot-shoot-shoot-shoot that will be entering it? No, to me, I think he should go for it.
Thank you very much. Let's assume he's consulting. Let's take a couple more calls. We are getting set for one play, but hi there. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Cool.
Welcome, my brother. How now? You said?
Sorry, I'm calling the female line.
Okay, no problem. Okay. Sam decided to bless you with. Yeah.
The rest of the crowd, I did here.
Now you're calling female line. Talk fast now.
Before I change my mind.
Okay, for about the FPL, for me, I think it's a case of trying to start from top and not the bottom. He said he wants to do VAR. Like, but the league itself is not a marketed, not marketed enough. So the clubs are not getting enough exposure. And one day I went on Facebook and I searched for Enyimba, which is one of the best clubs in the year. Could you guess their followers? The amount of followers they have? Less than 300k.
Wow.
I think it's 271.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have close to 150 million people who are internet users in Nigeria. And only around 271 are following him. That shows you the lack of exposure our league has. So for me, it's just crap here.
All right.
That's it. First of all, marketing our league, market it very well. Make sure that we have transfer period.
Okay.
We do have regular transfer season. Players does move. In fact, there was a time I saw a player moving to.
Oh, hello. We seem to have lost you. Okay. Let's quickly take a... can we take a message or two before
we can. Mm-hmm. Praise to the Lord. Mr. Femi came on the show tonight. This league season will be amazing. We know how busy you can be, but please don't stay away for too long from the show. The team is great, but you bring an X factor. Thank you, Ige from Ikorodu.
Thanks, Ige.
Is setting in that thought. Okay. This one says... All right, not for us. Good evening, everyone. Balogun Joseph from Agbado says, the NPFL and VAR remind me of a story I read long ago titled Tales of the Arabs.